continue last week's topic. Last week we started talking about an Aron Kodesh and some of the elements of an Aron Kodesh. It's nogeya to today's Daf Yomi. It's nogeya to this week's Parsha. This week's Parsha, of course, is Vayihi Bin Soa HaAron. So much of this is nogeya to this week's Parsha. Some of the halacha actually emerges from this week's Parsha. So let's continue along these discussions. So what we're going to talk about today is, first of all, the idea of using the Aron Kodesh for placing anything but Sifrei Torah, meaning what about putting other Sfarim in Aron Kodesh? What about possible Sifrei Torah in Aron Kodesh? What about throwing Aravos on top of Aron Kodesh? Meaning if Aron Kodesh has the status of Tashmisha Kedusha, like we were discussing last week, so you're not allowed to use it for that which has a lesser Kedusha. So what are the potential heterim to use it for anything else? Then we're going to talk about, Ezra Hashem, a little bit about turning one's back to the Aron Kodesh, which happens all the time when a rabbi gets up to Darshan. The back is normally toward the Aron Kodesh. And then we'll discuss a number of different minhagim related to the Aron Kodesh. Having a split Aron or two Aronos, having a paroches in front of the Aron Kodesh. So that's what's on tap for tonight. So let's begin with the idea of putting other things in the Aron Kodesh. And you know what? Let's begin with today's Daf Yomi, actually. I mentioned it briefly this morning in the Daf Shir. I want to expand a little bit. You know, there was a sugya in the Gemara that we have. It appears in two places in Shas. It appears in today's Daf, Zvachim Daf Mem Vav, and it also appears in Yuma Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara discusses the fact that the Torah tells us that the big day Kohen Gadol, he has to leave them there. They're not allowed to be used for something. There's some limitation on what can be done with the big day Lavan that the Kohen Gadol wore, Lefnai V'Lefnim, on Yom HaKippurim, after he's done using them. So to Machlokas, Rabbi Dosa, and the Chachamim, what that limitation means. V'Nicham Sham is what the Torah tells us. V'Yikra Perek Tezayim Pasachav Gimel. Chacham say, you know what that means? It means Tu'unim Geniza. You can never use them for anything else, ever. They have to be put into Geniza, and they're buried somewhere, and that's it. Rabbi Dosa says, no, it's just that a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to use them again on Yom Kippur, but let a Kohen Hedyot use it during the year. There's nothing wrong with a Kohen Hedyot using it during the year. So the Gemara in Yuma, not in today's Daf in Zvachim, but in Yuma, it has a follow-up, where the Chacham said to Rabbi Dosa, how could you allow them, a Kohen Hedyot, to use it during the year? You're not allowed to take something that has a Kedusha Chamura and use it for a Kedusha Kala. How could you take something that has an elevated Kedusha and use it for a lesser Kedusha? And this Kasha is based on the Sugya Megillah Daf Chavavam Beis Chazayin Amar Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that you're allowed to be golel a Sefer Torah with a mapa that's miyuchad for chumashim or for sifrei nach. Meaning, if you want to wrap something around the Torah and you don't have the Torah mantle available, but you have some sort of mantle that was used for sifrei neviim, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to use that for a Sefer Torah. But the reverse, you may not do. If you need something to wrap around your sifrei neviim and all you have is an old Sefer Torah mantle, you're not allowed to use it. Why? Malin b'kodesh ve'in moridin. You're not allowed to take something that was used for an elevated Kedusha and lower its level of Kedusha. So that is the conversation as it happens in the Gemara Yuma Daf Yud Beis. The Chacham challenged Rabbi Dosa, how is it possible that you're going to allow using the big day Kohen Gadol, the big day love in the Kohen Gadol war for on Yom Kippur, for a Kohen Hedyot to use during the year, Malin B'Kodesh Ve'in Moridin, you're not allowed to go down from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala. And therefore, we paskin, like the Chachamim, that they have to put away those clothing. They're not allowed to use them for the Kohen Hedyot. Meaning the Chachamim get the last word. Apparently, this would be a violation, La Halacha, of Malin B'Kodesh Ve'in Moridin, to use these begotten for something that was less than what they were originally used for. Good, so now that we have that background, listen to the psak of the Taz. The Taz, in Or Chaim Simkuflan Dalit, Sivkat and Zion writes, what happens if you have a shul? He was speaking specifically about the Gzeres Tach V'Tat, where shuls were destroyed, Rachman Lutzlan, things were totally emptied out and ruined, and what they had to do is they had to make a makeshift Aron Kodesh in the interim till they were able to rebuild things properly. So they made a box where they kept the Sefer Torah, But ultimately, the plan was to build a big, beautiful Aron Kodesh. Traditionally, that's what we've always done. We always make sure that the Aron Kodesh is as magnificent as it could possibly be, as beautiful as it could possibly be, because that really sets a tone that this is the Iker. This is the what's in there is the Iker of our religion. That's what it's really all about. So, so they built these beautiful Aronos Kodesh, and now they had all these boxes that they had used to hold the Sefer Torah in the interim. So can they use those boxes for anything? Can they use those cabinets for anything? They were built for a Sefer Torah, but just till they were able to find something better. So are they allowed to use them now for other Svarim? Or do we say, no, it's Aron Kodesh, Malon Kodesh Remoridin. So says the Taz, a great Chiddush. He says, you know, when we say Malon Kodesh Remoridin, that's only if it's still roi to use it for the elevated Kedusha. So instead of using it for the elevated Kedusha, you're going to go and use it for a lesser Kedusha? Terrible. You can't do such a thing. But what if you have something that it wouldn't be used for the elevated Kedusha anymore? There's no need to ever use it for the elevated Kedusha anymore. Like these boxes that were simply not needed anymore. You imagine, we're building Bez Hashem and Nushul, so the original Aron Kodesh that was in my basement, that's currently in the garage room over here, that barely ever gets used, I would imagine that once we build a Nushul, if there's money for a decent Aron Kodesh, that we're not going to have much use for it, right? So if we got no use for it, and it would make a perfectly good Sfarim shelf, says the Taz, perfectly fine. Because what? It's better that you just not use it at all? Meaning when your two options are, don't use it at all, or use it for something that's holy, but not as holy as it was originally used for, why would it be better not to use it at all? That's the Chiddush of the Taz. Now there are three kashas on this Taz. The Bechor Shor, in his Chiddushim to Megillah, Daf Chavavim Bey, says, if you take into account the conversation in the Gemara that we just mentioned, the Taz doesn't make any sense. Because the conversation in the Gemara went that Rabbi Dosa held that the Big Day Kohen Gadol, Kedusha Chamura, when he was done using them in Yom Kippur, Rabbi Dosa held, good, let them be used by a Kohen Hedyot during the year. Say the Chachamim, no! Malim B'Kodesh Vein Maridin! How could they be used? Now, both Rabbi Dosa and the Chachamim agree, you're definitely not allowed to use it ever again for a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. That the Torah definitely means when it says V'nicham Sham. So you're definitely not ever going to be able to use it for the Kedusha Chamura again. And yet the Chacham challenged Rabbi Dosa, Malim B'Kodesh Vein Maridin. What do you mean? According to the Taz, there's no Malim B'Kodesh Vein Maridin over here. It's never going to be used. It should be like those boxes that are never going to be used for a Sefer Torah again. So what kind of Raya Malim B'Kodesh Vein Maridin? It's a very strong Kasha. The Bechor Shor asks on the Taz. Another Kasha, Gemara Nevel D'Zara Daf Nun Beis. In our shul's Amud Yomi, we should be holding that around Daf Nun Beis, but I've been falling behind, so I haven't been producing the recordings. But on Daf Nun Beis, the Gemara talks about Avnei Mizbeach Sheshiktzum Anshe Yavan. The Greeks came and they were Meshaket the Avnei Mizbeach. What does that mean? They used it for Avodah Zarah. So what are we supposed to do with it now? How can we rebuild the Mizbeach with such a thing? The Gonzim Beis Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim had to put them in Geniza. Because what are we supposed to do? Should we break them? What does it mean, break them? How's that going to help? So that Rashi says, have a goy break them, thereby being mevatel the Shem Avodah Zarah. Because if something has the status of an Avodah Zarah, a Jew cannot be mevatel Avodah Zarah shel Ovid Chavim. Cannot be mevatel an Avodah Zarah that belongs to a goy. But a goy can. A goy can take away its Avodah Zarah status by being mevatel its Avodah Zarah status. So maybe have a goy come in with a sledgehammer or something. Let him destroy all these stones, thereby being mevatel Hashem Avodah Zarah. And then you'll be able to use it for rebuilding the Mizbeach. Says Gemara, that's not an option. Avanim Shleimos, Amar Rachmana. You need Avanim Shleimos. You're not allowed to use broken stones for building a Mizbeach. So there's nothing left to do with them. So asks the Bechor Shor, again in the same Chidushim in Megillah Chavav, why was there nothing left to do with them? Okay, they're never going to be able to be used for Avnei Mizbeach again. And that, Kuli Alma Lo Pligi, because if they're whole, they're Avodah Zarah. If they're broken, they're possible to be used for a Mizbeach. They'll never be able to be used for Avnei Mizbeach again. Why not have a Goy smash them and then use them for some other Kedusha? Binyan Azara, Harabayis. There are other holy things in that neighborhood that they should be able to use. They're not as holy as the Mizbeach, but they're pretty holy. So according to the Taz, that if the option is, don't use it at all, put it in Geniza, or use it for Kedusha, but a little lesser Kedusha, the Taz should say, do it for the lesser Kedusha. So I ask the Bechor Shor, what's going on in that Gemara, according to the Taz? And then the third Kasha, the Prima Gadim asks, Sugya Megillah Chavavim Beis, Hai Tevusa Di'irpat Me'avda Tevu Zutrasi Shari Kursaya Aser. If you have an Aron that is no longer fit for use, you're not allowed to make a box out of it, not to make a chair out of it, because even though it's Eino Ra'ui, even though it's no longer usable for its original purpose, it's Aser to use for anything less. So again, very clear in the Gemara that something that's not Ra'ui anymore for its Kedusha Chamura, you're still not allowed to use for a Kedusha Kala. So we mentioned this morning, we didn't mention all these three kashas, but we mentioned this morning the Mahalich of the Tshuvas Avnei Zikaron. I don't know who it is, but I found it on Hebrew Books. The Tshuvas Avnei Zikaron, I saw it quoted, then I looked it up in Hebrew Books. The Tshuvas Avnei Zikaron, Chelek Beisim and Tzadites Oz Dalit, suggests to answer for the Taz as follows. He says, that when the Taz says that if your options are nothing or a lesser Kedusha, you're allowed to use it for a lesser Kedusha, Lo Amar Ella Ba'ofen She'in Sarech Lasus Shum Dvar Tikun Leishtamish Bo Kedusha Kala. That's if, in order to use it for the lesser Kedusha, nothing needs to be done. All you need to do is use it for the lesser Kedusha. No tikunim, no fixes, no changes, no adjustments to the Chafza. So then, if the Chafza as is, as currently is, can be used for Kedusha Kala, then you may use it for that Kedusha Kala. But to go and actively change the chetza in order that it should be able to accommodate a Kedusha Kala, even the Taz wouldn't allow such a thing. And with that, he answers all three kashas. What was the kasha by the Mizbeach? You have these avanim of the Mizbeach. So what was the Gemara's kasha? Why don't we smash them, have a guy smash them, be involved to have their shame of a desire, then we'll be able to use them for the Chumas Harabayis and for other things. Smashing them is changing them. You're not allowed, if you're going to change them, if you're going to have to change them in order to use them for Kedusha Kala, that we don't do. We're not allowed to make a tikkun, any sort of pu'ula whatsoever, in order to bring them down, to actively bring them down in level of Kedusha. The same is true of the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah is talking about retrofitting it, taking a thing that was used for an Aron, and instead building it into a kisei, building it into something else. Yeah, you're not allowed to make any physical changes. What about the Big Day Kuhuna? The first kasha on the Taz was from the Big Day Kuhuna Gadola. So the Kohen Gadol takes off these Big Day Lavan, Yom Kippur. We're not asking to change them. We're going to use them. We want to use them for a Kohen Hediot. Why would that be Aser? So the Avnei Zikaron points out that for that you need to be familiar with a different line of that very same Sugya, Maseches Yuma, where the Gemara tells us that the Avneto shel Kohen Gadol lo zehu avneto shel Kohen Hediot. The avnet that the Kohen Gadol would wear was different than the avnet of the Kohen Hediot. So the Kohen Hediot would not be able to use these Big Day Kuna Gadola as they are. He would have to add an avnet to them. By adding an avnet to them, that is a maisa where he's being actively morid them from the Kedusha of Big Day Kuna Gadola to the Kedusha of Big Day Kohen Hediot, and you're not allowed to actively be moreing them. And that's a little bit of a chiddush, because the other cases, you know, the Avnei Mizbeach, he's smashing them. The retrofitting the Aron to turn it into something else, you're breaking it, right? When it comes to the Big Day Kuna Gedola, the Big Day Lavan that was worn, Lefnei V'Lefnim, you're just using three out of four, right? Meaning one of the Begadim, you're using a little bit differently, right? So that means you're replacing. But the ones that are there that you're continuing to use are still exactly the same. But he suggests that that's called a tikkun in the begadim, and you're not allowed to make any sort of tikkun in the begadim in order to actively be morid its level of kedusha. So that's one issue relating to putting other things in the aron, namely not putting other things in the aron, but because the Taz over there says that's why if you have an old aron, you're allowed to use it for Svarim. So, for example, if we were to accept this explanation of the Taz, that little aron that was in my basement that, you know, my carpenter Jamie built for us for $200, you know, when we started the shul, that little aron, when we no longer need to use it as an aron, so if we wanted to use it as a Svarim shelf, which frankly it looks a lot more equipped to be used as a Svarim shelf than an Aron Kodesh, if we wanted to use a Svarim, we'd have to add shelving in order for it to be, because there's only like the one shelf where the Svarim, where the Sifrei Torah go now, and there's one other shelf at the bottom, but we'd have to add shelving to make it really properly usable. So even the Taz would say that's Asur, L'chora, according to this biur of the Taz, to actually fix it up and make it, but if we wanted to just pile Svarim high up inside, that l'chora would be fine. That's when talking about an old aron. What about currently? What about if we stand? We want to keep other things in the aron. It's the safest place. You know, you have a shul, sometimes people close the door, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they lock the door, sometimes they don't. So people can walk in off the street anytime, and, you know, there are valuable things here. So we want to put anything valuable, you know, not to publicize too much, but sometimes the pushka will be out, like, you know, all night. Someone wants to come in and steal. So we want to put, let's say, the pushka in the arms. Or we want to put anyone who has a silver tara on their talis, they want to keep their talis in the oven. They don't want to get it stolen or something like that. Or not even so drastic. Let's say the ornaments of the Sifrei Torah that, you know, we rarely actually put on the Sifrei Torah. We don't really use them that much, but they exist. They're there. So we want to put them in the Aron. Not even on the Sifrei Torah, but, you know, just next to the Sifrei Torah in the Aron. Are we allowed to do that? Now, certainly on the Sifrei Torah would be permitted because that's decorating the Sefer Torah. But it's just, it's a beautiful silver piece. We have this one, I don't even know where it is, actually. I hope it's somewhere safe, but someone donated to the shul a while back. I think it was made in like 1920-something. It's like this antique, massive, massive silver keser that goes on top of a Torah. And now the way they make Sefer Torah, much smaller, so it's larger than most of our Sifrei Torah, actually, the keser. Like, it throws the Baal Tefillah off balance when you stick it on top. So we want to keep it in a safe place. This happens to be a safe, so we want to keep it in there. Is that permitted? So there's an interesting discussion. I mentioned before, the Gemara Megillah, you're not allowed to be more at a level of Kedusha. The Marshal is quoted by the Bach in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, that if you are using Sifrei Torah, if you're using the Aron for Sifrei Torah, and then simultaneously putting other things in there as well, you know, for example, you simultaneously put other Svarim, the Aron is still B'Kedushas HaKayim, it still retains its level of Kedusha, and therefore it's Mutter, nothing Morid it, you're using it also. So it's not only for the Sifrei Torah, it's for Sifrei Torah plus other Svarim. So that's okay, says the Marshal quoted by the Bach, and he says he has a raya. His raya is, what happens when they're leaning from the Sefer Torah, and the Baal Koreh is astute, he's paying attention, and he notices a mistake in the Sefer Torah. And it's a clear mistake. It's letters are touching, a deformed letter, a missing letter, something, a mistake in the Sefer Torah. So what do? What's the practice? They put the gartel on the outside of the Sefer Torah, and they put the Sefer Torah right back in the Aron. What kind of kedusha does that Sefer Torah have, if it's possible? So it's halacha mufarashas in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Kuf Nun Gimel Sif Gimel. Sefer Torah Shnimtza Bo Taos has a din of a chumash. It has a status of a chumash. So here you're using your Aron Kodesh not just for Sefer Torah, but for chumashim as well. It doesn't have the status of a Sefer Torah. So apparently that's mutter. You're allowed to use it for other svarim. It's only when there are no Sefer Torah in the Aron, that's when you're not allowed to put other things, because that's a harada mekedusha. That's the chiddush of the Marshal. That would pose a problem for those that have the Minagan Simchas Torah, where they take all these Sifrei Torah of the Aron and they'll put a candle or something in the Aron. Now, according to that Marshal, it's a problem, because dafka, when the Sifrei Torah all leave the Aron, that's when you can't have anything else in there. The Bach disagrees with the Marshal. He quotes Marshal, disagrees with the Marshal, and says even together with the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to put anything else in there. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Margot Tzia brings a raya from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yudalit. The Gemara in Shabbos says that they used to have the practice that they would keep Truma near a Sefer Torah, even though its Kedusha was not as holy as a Sefer Torah. Meaning this is part of the idea of, and the part of this is the idea of Netilas Yadayim, right? That the concern was, we didn't want them keeping Truma near Svarim. Why didn't we not want them keeping Truma near Svarim? Because Truma's food, and mice will come and they'll start eating away at the Svarim. But the clear implication of the Gemara and Shabbos is that that's what they used to do. They would keep the Truma near the Svarim. And strictly speaking, it wasn't prohibited. We only stopped it because we didn't like what was happening with the mice. But how are you allowed to keep Truma near Svarim? It's meant for Kedusha. Truma's holy also. A Zar is not allowed to eat Truma, and you're not allowed to eat Truma Betuma. Even a Kohen is not allowed to eat Truma Betuma. But it's not a Sefer. It's not the same Kedusha. It's not Kedusha Ksav Shel Torah, like a Sefer Torah. So how are they allowed to keep it together? So says the Maror Ksiya, you see from there, that you're allowed to have something of lesser Kedusha as long as, like the Marshal, as long as the item of higher Kedusha is still there. Magen Avraham, however, quotes that the Sefer Chassidim writes that you shouldn't even put a pasla klafim, urios, psulos of old Sefer Torah together with the Sefer Torah, and he says, you know, the only reason to be mekel, and this is where it gets tricky because you're not able to give like clear gedarim, is the notion of leiv based in masna aleihem. That there's an understanding that when we initially designate it as kadosh, that it's kadosh within reason, with whatever it's the typical needs of a community are. So typically, what are you going to do when you find a psul in the Sefer Torah? So of course, you'll put the gartel on the outside to remember to try to fix it later. Hopefully, you'll be able to afford, the shul will be able to afford to fix it later. But what are you going to do with it? Where else are you going to put it? So it's understood that these things happen from time to time, and that the only place to put it is back in the Aron Kodesh. So in such a case, we'll say, Leiv Beis Din Masna Aleihem. And that's what Rav Vosner writes in Shevet HaLevi, Chelet Dalet, Siminayin Alf, that it's only possible Sefer Torah that are allowed back in the Aron Kodesh. Nothing else is allowed back in the Aron Kodesh. Now, Marshal says that you're allowed to put other things in the Aron, other things that have lesser Kedusha. The raya, you know, we mentioned one raya, the Pasul of Sefer Torah, okay, maybe that's Leiv Beis Din Masna Aleihem. Another fascinating raya is mentioned by the Binyan Tzion, the Siman Tzadi Zayin, and by the Shoel in the Tshuvas Nodi B'Yudah Madura Kama Rechaim Simites, where the Shoel wanted to allow putting other things in the Aron based on the Aron, meaning the Aron that we read about, that was in the Mishkan and the Migdash. What was in the Aron? What was in the Aron? The luchos, which ones?
Broken.
Ah, so both, right? So the whole ones and the broken ones. The shivrei luchos, some didn't have the kedusha. They were shivrei luchos. They weren't luchos anymore. They were broken, and yet the shivrei luchos were menachos ba'aron. They were placed in the aron. So how was that allowed? So that was the raya that they wanted to bring. They didn't have kedusha anymore, and they were placed in the aron. So it says in the view that, wait a second, timing over here. When did they build the Aron in comparison to when were those luchos broken? Meaning, was the Aron built with the kavana to put the shivrei luchos in, or is it like an afterthought? They built the Aron, then, oh my God, the luchos broke. Now what should we do? So then they put the luchos in. It says in the Yehuda, the Aron was built after shivrei luchos. It was after shivrei luchos. So we already had shivrei luchos. The Aron was built in order to house the Shivrei Luchos and the Luchos. So that's clearly a Leif Beis in Masna Aleihem. You don't get a stronger Leif Beis. I mean, that's what its original purpose was. You know, each Kli in the Beis HaMikdash had a function. This wasn't Stam, a box that you keep a Sefer Torah. This, its function was to hold the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos. Why the Shivrei Luchos? Why the Shivrei Luchos so important? Okay, so we have that discussion of Shivrei Luchos represent, you know, Al Pi Ashkafa, a Talmud Chacham Shashachach Talmudam, that you have to be mechabed even a Talmud Chacham who lost all of his learning, who forgot all of his learning, because even the Shivrei Luchos are Munachos Ba'aron. You look that even the Shivrei Luchos are in the Aron. That's a question. You know, we say bracha when you see a massive Talmud Chacham. Question whether we still say it b'zman hazeh. What kind of Talmud Chacham? I think we discussed once, right? So what's that bracha? Is that bracha a bracha on the Torah that this person possesses, or is it the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it a kiyum of kavod Talmud Chacham? Nafkamina would be, what if he's a Talmud Chacham sheshachach Talmuda? Kavod Talmud Chacham, you have to have the same kavod, not an ounce less, same kavod that you always had for him. But what if it's a bracha on the Torah that he currently possesses, on the Torah that's in front of you right now? It's not there. The Torah is not there in front of you right now. So that might be enough kamina. The editor for my sefer wanted a time it's not enough kamina based on brain research that they do recently, that everything's there latent in the brain, we just don't know how to bring it. Ah, I thought that was a little too easy. He's a very frum Haredi guy. I thought that was a little of a modernish svara for such a guy. But yeah, I didn't think that. I thought it was a pretty decent enough kamina. I didn't think to change it based on that. I did not take that editorial comment. We ignored it. Delete comment. The Nodbuda says that we could also be mechalik between when you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah versus just taking old pasul yirios, going into a sofer's shop and taking all the old pasul yirios and dumping them in the yaron. He said nafkamina is twofold. First of all, if you find one pasul in the chumash, the other chumashim are still meaning one psul in the Torah, that chumash maybe, but the other chumashim are still kosher, and you're even allowed to read from them. Rama writes in Orchem Simchot Mem Gamli, you're allowed to be yotzei kriyas Torah. You know, we even discussed it could be you're allowed to be yotzei kriyas Torah, but the Sefer Torah that's possible. It could be that's the machlokas rishonim that it could be kriyas Torah lechud and kashrus of Sefer Torah lechud, that these are two separate inyanim. That's what the Rambam writes in the Tshuva in Parador. We discussed it Shalosh Shulis. The Rambam writes that you're allowed to read, if you don't have a kashrus Sefer Torah, read from Apostle Sefer Torah with a bracha, because the bracha is on kriyas Torah. It's not like he says explicitly, it's not like making a bracha on Apostle Lulav. Making a bracha on Apostle Lulav, the Lulav is Apostle, and that's what you're saying the bracha on. Kriyas Torah, you're making a bracha on the Kriya. So with the bracha, and he says, and that was the minag of the Rimigash and the Rif. Apparently, they were both found themselves in places where there was no kosher Sefer Torah, and that's what they did, that they continued to read with a bracha on the Sefer Torah. So that's one reason that there's a big difference between old Urios versus the Sefer Torah that's possible. Sefer Torah, you find the psul in the letter, okay, it's still kosher for Kriyas HaTorah. Also, since it's very, very common, Nodbida points out, to find a psul in the Sefer Torah, I think I mentioned recently that we found out from a very, very respected sofer that before computer checking, a typical decent sofer who writes a Sefer Torah will make 50 mistakes, 50 in the Sefer Torah. Typically, a superior sofer, an expert sofer, will make 10 mistakes in a Sefer Torah. So yeah, you'll find things. And obviously an inferior sofer will make more than 15 mistakes. So you'll find things in the Sefer Torah. It's very, very common. And therefore, says the Nodav Yehuda, that's clearly Lev Beis Din Masna on the Aron. The Lev Beis Din makes it tonight that it's allowed to hold the Sefer Torah, that you find a nominal amount of mistakes. And nevertheless, even though the Nodav Yehuda holds of these chilukim, he says, you're still allowed to put Urios, old Urios, in the Aron, based on Rashi and Shabbos Tav Kuf Tes Vavim Beis. And this is the connection to this week's parasha. Rashi over there writes that a Sefer Torah that's Nimchak Obala, it's worn out, it's erased, as long as 85 letters remain of the Sefer Torah. How many letters are there in the Sefer Torah? According to the Gemara in Kiddushin, Shishim Rivo, 600,000. Okay, it's not true. But still, a lot more than 85. Many, 85 letters remain, it's still B'Kedusha Sokaima. It still retains its Kedusha. And from his Lashon B'Kedusha, so it sounds like B'Kedusha so Mamish, right? That it has the Kedusha. Now, you still have to be concerned about the Michshal, that if it's a possible Sefer Torah, you don't want people taking it out to use it, and to certainly not to Sefer Sheinu Muga, the Gemara tells us in Masech Ksuvus, is a violation of Al Tishkan Ba'alecha Avlo. You're not allowed to leave the Sefer Torah Sheinu Muga. A person might come to learn from it. We gave the example recently, I think at Shalosh Shuvos, we were discussing, someone's going to, by the Aseres HaDibros, it's just missing the word lo in a couple of places, right? So a person will say, oh, Tirtzav, Tinaf, oh, I can get used to this religion, right? So that's it could be very terrible. So if a person's going to learn halacha from it, that would be a very terrible thing. So you'd have to make an indication somehow that it's possible. But as far as it's Kedusha, the Kedusha is still there, the Kedusha Sikai, and therefore not to be the Paskins, it's allowed to remain in the Aron. Where did we get the number 85 letters? 85? Where do we ever find that in Judaism? So it's this week's parasha. Vayivin Saharon is surrounded by the Nunin Hafuchin, right? And how many letters? I didn't count, but apparently 85 in Vayivin Saharon. So the discussion in the Gemara, how many chumashim is the wrong word, how many svarim there are in Torah, that chumashim would give away the answer, say that there are chamisha, chumshei, Torah, right? Are they, so the Gemara says, not so pashut. According to a sheet in the Gemara, which we paskin like, because this is the psak halacha, there are seven svarim in Torah. So chumash is sort of a misnomer. There's Bereshis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar up until Vayihi bin Sava itself, a midbar after Vayihi bin Sava, and then Devarim, seven svarim of Torah. So this shortest one is Vayihi bin Sava, right? That's its own independent sefer. And lahalacha we say that's why it still has kedusha if it just has 85 letters keneged the shortest section of the Torah. An astonishing thing, but that's what we assume lahalacha. Now, one other thing about placing things in an aron that don't belong in an aron, or don't seem to belong in an aron, I don't remember if we discussed this in this year. I think I discussed it in Shul at some point. There is a minhag, which I guess we're not going to be able to do this year, that we've done in past years, that at the end of Sukkot, after at the end of Hoshana Rabbah, we take the Hoshanos, and people will take the bundles and throw them on top of the aron. Why on earth should that be allowed, right? Meaning that is to take whatever garbage you're done with. Okay, it's not garbage, it's a tashmishay mitzvah, tashmishay minag at least, machlokas in the Gemara, yesod neviyim, minag neviyim, whatever it is that we do with the aravos, and just you're just allowed to put it on the Aron Kodesh. Where would that come from? So it's a very interesting thing when you try to track down where this minna comes from, because there is discussion in Rishonim about and in Achronim about what happens with the Aravos when you're done with them, which is interesting because there's no discussion about most other Tashmishi Mitzvah. It's just you got to know Tashmishi Mitzvah are Nizrakin, but only B'derech Kava, not B'derech Bizayon. You can throw them out, just you don't have to put them in Sheamus, but you have to do B'derech Kava. You got to wrap them separately, you can't, okay. And that's good for all Tashmish Mitzvah. But comes the Aravos of the Hoshanos, and all of a sudden the Achronim have ideas of oh, here's a good way to get rid of them. The Chayyadim writes in Kal Kufnum Gimel, V'achar she'gomer kol Hoshanos, chovdenos ha'bekarkei he'pamim v'day b'zeh. He says, first of all, five times he hit it on the ground, and that's it. He says, Mashanogin shechovdenos she'yiplu kol ha'olim, that which people are knowing that they keep beating it on the ground till all the leaves fall off, he calls it Hu minog shel tinokos. It's a minog of tinokos. It's a kid's thing to do. Mishum simcha. I don't think he's criticizing kids. I think he's saying that's what kids do. Of course, you tell them, for the first time in shul, they don't have to sit quietly. They get to take a thing and start smashing it around. Let them have their fun. Let them smash it around. But you know, at a certain age, you know, you should mature to the point where you say, okay, the minog is five times, so I hit it five times, and then what? Ula'achar shechavat lo yizrakena ala karka. Don't throw it on the ground. Because that's the rule by all tashmishim mitzvah. You can't throw tashmishim mitzvah even after they're done on the ground. You're not allowed to put them in bizayon. Ella yisrafena, burn them. So he has an idea. Burn them. He doesn't say bizorik them in a kavadik way. Burn them, he says. Okay, but he doesn't tell you any context to burn them. Just burn them. Then you have the Eliyahu Rabba writes, Minok Pashut Biyadenu, Shekibalnu Me'avosenu, La'achar Shnigmu Mitzvah Sarava, that we have a minok that we have from our forefathers. When you're done with Mitzvah Sarava, when you leave Shul, Kol Echad Molich HaRava LeBeiso, bring it home with you. Umesivin also samach l'rosh mitasa l'chib of mitzvah. And you know, it should be like your teddy bear, your blankie. You know, you go to sleep with your rava chib of mitzvah, because you go to sleep with the thing that you love, right? The you know, I don't know, kid gets a new. I don't know if my kids, it was a baseball jersey when they were very young, I think, you know, that, sleep with the jersey, you know, when you know, the kid finally made the team or something, you know, like, that's the, so that's a way of showing a chavivus. So you have it barosh mitasa as a chib of mitzvah. I don't think that's so commonly practiced. He says, minuk me'avul seinu. Eli Rabbi says, minuk pashut. This was what, like, everyone did. I don't know. I don't think I know. Anyway, I don't visit people's bedrooms. I'm not like the Satmar Rav. They say used to visit people's bedrooms to make sure there was a night table. It says in his biography, he was very makbid that there would be a night table between the husband and wife's bed. You know, in Hilchos Nida, the Shulchan Aruch says in Simchot Tzadi Hei that when a woman is in Nida, the beds can't be touching each other. So Pischei Tshuva says, how far apart do they have to be? Kol Shehu. Only a kol shu. But minig is, we try to move it a little more than a kol shu. So by the chassidim, they're makbid, that a daf could be a night table between the beds. I remember I asked Rav Shechter when I got married, how far should the beds be apart? Because I saw all these different, the halacha is a kol shu, but I saw some say enough that you could walk between the beds, some say enough that you could roll over and fall down between the beds, some say, you know, different shitos. I asked Rav Shechter, and he said, I thought all married couples have a night table between their beds. I said, I thought only Ernie and Bert have a night table between their beds. I remember she had no, you know, but they say in the Satmar Rebbe biography, it says that the Satmar Rebbe used to go into people's homes and do spot checks to make sure that there was a micromanager, you know. So how did I get to that? I have no idea. A minute passion. The Hashanah's by the bed, right, okay, the Hashanah's in the bed. So I'm not going to people's bedrooms to inspect, but I can't imagine that there are too many people that are bringing the Hashanah's back home and keeping them in the bedroom. Certainly not married people. Then the Beis Yosef writes, Beis Yosef quotes a third minog of what to do with them. Beis Yosef quotes from Gos Maimonios in the name of the Re'im, that also lehanos minara v'lach bracha netila, you're not allowed to get hanah from it, it's muktza the mitzvasa the whole day. And he says, La'afuke me'osum shetzolim ben tapuchum u'basar. So he says, not a good idea to use it to light your barbecue for cooking for Yantif. You know, you want to cook your apples and meat. I guess that was a delicacy. So you shouldn't do that. And he says that some would be misakin mimena etzim lukulmosim, that they would make a kulmos, they would make a quill out of it, to write a Sefer Torah with, out of the Aravos. Or they would use it to be Mevar Chametz and Pesach. Oh, now we're getting close, right? That we see people are knowing, that they'll use it later on to be Mevar Chametz and Pesach. Where does that come from? The Gemara in Brachos Lametes, Shabbos Kuf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says, Bein Eruv, Hol V'Savad Be'chad Mitzvah, Love Be Mitzvah Achrita. That once you've done one mitzvah or something, it's appropriate to do a second mitzvah with that same thing. The Mordechai Nenim Sechasukah also says, can't get hanah from your arava after you use it, unless you made it tanai, because it's muktzah l'kuliyoma. And Darkei Moshe says a little different. He says not to burn chametz with it, you bake your matzahs with it. You go to Darkei Moshe, the Ramah, that you bake your matzahs with it. You use it to fire up the oven to bake your matzahs. Now, what's interesting about that is that assumes you're keeping it around that long, right? Meaning, so where does it go in the interim? So they had to keep it somewhere. So what made them choose the top of the Aron as an appropriate place to keep it until you burn your chametz? That's what it's about. It wasn't about keeping it on top of the Aron. It wasn't about the Aron per se. It was about holding on to it till you do what the Darkei Moshe says, bake your matzahs or burn your chametz. But why on top of the Aron? So the closest we find to like a real early source for this is the Eliyarabba quotes from the Malbusha Yom Tov, which is the parish of the Tosos Yantif on the Levush, the author of the Tosos Yantif on the Levush, where he says v'ulai she'anu she'makem al kelim kedei lahashir ha'olin, we hit it on things to knock off the leaves, v'achar kach zorkin oso al azizin shebe b'samedrish. He refers to putting it on zizin in the Beis Medrash. What are zizin? on like shelves or some protrusions in the walls in the Beis HaMedrash. That's where they would keep it. So we have the idea that it's being kept in shul. Now, why would it be kept in shul? Because they used to bake matzahs in shul. They used to burn chametz. We still, many shuls still burn chametz in shul. They have like a garbage can outside of shul where they have the fire. So it would be the most logical place to put it. So is there any... So now we've tracked down the minhag, and the minhag seems to be a little bit off from the putting it on the ark. So what's it based on? Meaning, is there any heter for it? Forget about what's it based on. You want to tell me it's a part of minhag, you know, the minhag was initially recorded to put it on a shelf and we put it on a table. Okay, because they put it on a table, what do I care? You put it on your bed, on a table, on a shelf, I don't care. But once you're putting it on an Aron Kodesh, now we have to ask a kasha, because you're not allowed to just stop put things on an Aron Kodesh. So in the Sefer Ginzei HaKodesh, he writes that it could be that we could be Melamed Zuchus if you say that the Aron Kodesh doesn't have Kedusha Al Gabav, that the Kedusha Aron Kodesh is only to be used Mitocha. That the inside of the Aron Kodesh is what has Kedusha. That's one possibility. Rav Shturmbach in Moad Muzmanim Chedek Beis in Kuf Lamed Aleph, my son called me up all excited. He from Eretz Yisrael, his chavrusa bought him a gift, a Moad Muzmanim. I'm like, okay, we have three of them at home, but he just never noticed. But okay, it's fair enough. We have a lot of Svarim at home. He says that maybe there's room to be matzdik v'minah. To say that it's a zecher to zikifas haravos etzal mizbeach, that they used to be zokif the haravos by the mizbeach, and in the Beis Hamikdash they would stand them up by the mizbeach. So we do it by the aron. Problem is, there is a parallel between the mikdash ma'ad, the Beis Hakneses, and the Beis Hamikdash. Rav Shechter has a piece in Eretz Tzvi where he has, I think, 11 parallels between mikdash ma'ad and Beis Hamikdash. Rav Asher Weiss has another piece where he has, I think, 7 additional ones besides from Schechter's 11 parallels. Unbelievable, right? You know, there's a lot there. So there's something in the Beis HaKnesses that's the sort of the replica of the Mizbeach, or that's supposed to represent the Mizbeach. It's not the Aron. The Aron represents the Aron. So if anything, we should keep it by the Bima, which is what represents the Mizbeach. Problem is, we use the bima; it would get in the way if we use the bima. I thought the real heter is that it looks nice. Meaning, you're certainly allowed to, just like you may not be allowed to keep your fancy silver in Aron Kodesh, but if it's decorating a Sefer Torah and it's a covet for the Sefer Torah, so then that would be mutter. So what? In Shavuos, you could put flowers all around the aron, and we have no problem with that because it looks nice. So if the greenery on top looks nice, so that's all you need for it to be a heter. And then minhag takes you the rest of the way. A minhag is only a problem if it's a minhag shtos, a minhag toos, that goes against the halacha. But if it doesn't go against the halacha, so as long as you're able to be miyashev, that it's okay with the halacha. Yeah, so I thought that was good enough. The fact that it looks nice would be enough to be makel in this case. All right, we only have 2 minutes left, so I wanted to discuss a little bit about turning your back to the aron. We'll skip that for now. Shnei aronos, because we're out of time over here. Pasuk says zos asuk chulich hamaktos korach kol adaso. Rashi over there says ma ra lomer lam kach amalam bedarchei agoyim yesh nimusim harbei v'komrim harbei vein kulam eskaptim bebayis echad. That by the goyim they have many gods, but they don't all go to the same place to pray. Anu ein lanu el Hashem echad, aron echad, v'tora achas, u'mizbeach echad, v'koin gadol echad. We have one God, we have one aron, one Torah, one mizbeach, one koin gadol. So everything on the list sounds good. One aron? Is that a thing, that you can only have one aron? So I heard from Rav Shechter, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that we should be makbid, that a shul, that a tzura of a shul is that there's one aron. That there's not more than one aron in a room. I remember when I was in Yeshivat HaKotel for the first time. So if you've ever been to Yeshivat HaKotel, in the very front of the, they took advantage of their location. There's a window in the middle that you see right out to the Harabayas, and on either side is the aron. An aron on this side, an aron on that side. So I said, that's interesting. That's two arons. So they told me that they keep Sifrei Nevi'im in one of them, that they keep the Klapim from Nevi'im. It's really only one Aron. That's a cum of this idea of what Rashi writes in Parshas Korach, that it's dafka one Aron that we have. The whole thing is lav dafka, because there's not just one Kohen Gadol either. There are three Kohen Gadolim. So it's not, I think it's just an expression. I don't know if it necessarily means, but that's what our salvation thought. La halacha. Okay, let's stop there.